Hey everyone, welcome to another Your Amigos ESMO podcast. We're pleased to be joined today by Xinan Shang, who's a medical oncologist from Peking University in China. And he presented the RENO-TORCH study, which is toripalimab combined with axitinib compared to sunitinib in frontline kidney cancer. And what I'm going to do is, before I turn it over to you, is just summarize a little bit the trial and the results, and then we'll sort of jump in and ask you some questions. So this trial was similar to the other IOTKI studies mostly. It was a smaller study. It was just over 400 patients, frontline clear cell kidney cancer, randomized to the combination, toripalimab and axi standard dosing or sunitinib standard dosing. This did only include intermediate and poor risk patients. So it was a little bit different from the others in that it didn't include favorable IMDC risk. The patient characteristics were pretty similar. I don't think there's any surprises there. And then the main the main result presented was progression-free survival benefit, median 18 versus 9.8, hazard ratio of 0.65. Of course, that's significant. And early follow-up, median follow-up time of just under 15 months. So early results, but significant for PFS, looked pretty consistent across subgroups, consistent in the investigator-assessed PFS. And response rates, it looked like about a 52% PR rate and 4.8% CR in the combination therapy, and just over 30% in for sunitinib. So pretty consistent what we've seen with the other IOTKI studies. And an overall survival, which is immature at this point, so just a descriptive result, but curve splitting and staying split with a hazard ratio of 0.61. And then the safety, as you would expect for sort of these IOTKI combinations, I don't think there was anything that was surprising or unusual there. So I think these data are very much in line with what we've seen with the other IOTKI studies. Again, it's just intermediate and poor risk.
14 months of follow-up as well, Brian. Only 15 months. Do you remember the follow-up as time goes by? The hazard ratio sometimes drift from a survival perspective. So it's a relatively early look.
Yep, relatively early. Much like when you presented axi pembro, Tom. But almost, I think, similar follow-up, maybe a little more, but in a similar range.
0.65, 0.53, the hazard ratio is a bang on where one would expect it to be. So it looks exactly the same in some respects. Shane, a couple of questions from you, for me. The first is, what was the subsequent therapy like in this trial? Did patients get subsequent therapy?
Did they get therapy after protocol therapy? Did they go
on therapy? Did they get second-line immune therapy? Was second-line nivolumab, because it was a study that took place in China, was second-line nivolumab available, or did second-line sunitinib or axitinib or whatever it might be?
In China, for the patients who failed the first-line treatment, TKI and only alone or TKI combined mTOR inhibitors. For example, lenvatinib combined avelumab maybe the the choice for the second line.
So mainly VEGF TKI second line. And in this trial, did lots of patients get second line therapy? Because we know from the CLEAR trial and the 564 study, second line therapy, we think, can dilute a survival signal. Your early look at 0.61 looks really competitive, but about the same as we've seen with the other trials. How many patients got second line therapy? Do you know?
For this study, we just reported the intermediate analysis. So we need more time. Follow up the second line treatment.
Okay, that sounds good.
We have no data.
And Shang, I think you might have said this before, but you only enrolled intermediate and poor risk. And the reason for that is because you think TKI monotherapy is adequate for favorable risk, or why did you make that choice?
For the favorable patients, we have given the patients the TKI or TKI combined PD-1 antibody.
So you have available in China the TKI plus PD-1 as an option. Is that correct?
I have something to tell you. In the China, the PD-1 antibody, for example, Pembro or Nivo, no indication for the renal cancer in China.
Okay, that's interesting. So this, Sheng, will this be the first then? Toripalimab, is this going to be the standard of care in China? Is this going to be the new treatment that everyone gets because in intermediate and porous disease? How will these data be interpreted in China? Will this be the new standard of care in China?
Yes.
So for 1 billion people, this is going to be the new standard of care.
Yeah. For the study background, first, we know for the IMDC intermediate or poor prognostic risk, maybe no try to combine the PD-1 combined TKI. We need the study to prove the PD-1 antibody TKI benefit. And second, this study is the first immunotherapy treatment for the Chinese renal cancer patients.
Did any Chinese patients participate in the other trials? I don't remember, but I know you're saying this is the first dedicated trial in China, but
I don't think there were many Chinese patients in the other studies, Brian.
Yeah.
Sheng, quick question.
Yeah.
Is this approved now in China? Is this now the standard of care? Or do you have to go through a funding? Who sponsored the trial? Who sponsored the trial? Was it the Chinese government or was it a drug company? Who sponsored the trial? And how long will it take before this is available in China?
The sponsor is Shanghai Junshi Company. This year, we have delivered this trial IND.
So it's going to be approved.
India. We applied the indication to the government.
So you've applied to the government to get this approved.
Yeah. But we know Pembo, Nivo, and include the our study drug Toripalimab. Can be available in China because for the Pembro Nivo, Toripalimab have an other cancer indication. So we can use the PD-1 antibody off label.
So you're already using it in China, and it's available for Chinese patients. Okay, that's amazing. Yeah. And Brian, question for you. How do you look at this data? How does it change your perception of both this drug, and does this have any influence on the wider landscape?
When I first heard the data, I think it's reinforcing, I guess would be a word I'd use, to the other IOTKIs. Again, it's very reminiscent, not surprisingly, of the AXI-Pembro data when we first presented it with a fairly similar median follow-up. If you look at hazard ratios and medians, that KEYNOTE-426 was in all IMDC risk groups. This is just intermediate and poor. So actually, I don't remember all the numbers, but I think the results are, good considering that it's just intermediate and poor risk patients, right? You don't have those favorable risk patients driving response rate and driving some of the PFS. So I think it's reinforcing from what we know about IO-TKI combinations. And I have a feeling the, you know, if you're an IO-TKI user, these will again reinforce what you think. If you're an Ipi-Nivo user, I don't know that this will necessarily change anybody's mind or change them over to IO-TKI. But I don't think there's any surprises here. It was gonna be a question that I asked Shang is, was there any surprises in the data here? I didn't really see any, but I'm wondering from an investigator standpoint, if there was anything about the results, Shang, that surprised you.
I think for the renal torch is the first phase three study to combine the efficacy and the safety of the combine of PD-1 antibody and TKI. First study, but we know from the CheckMate 214 study, COSMIC 313, focus on the MDC intermediate or poor prognostic risk patients. So I think it does not change the practice, just confirmed that for the intermediate or poor prognostic risk patients should receive the PD-1 antibody combined TKI treatment in the first line.
Just confirms that. Yeah, Tom.
Just confirm.
Understand. Tom, do you have any other thoughts? Anything that you think these data change?
And I wonder if it ends up being cheap. I wonder if from a global perspective, you know, India and Europe and those places where reimbursement is really important from a price perspective, I wonder if there are plans to export this combination as an alternative. And I don't know the answer to that. There are issues clearly about there being no patients from Europe or the United States included. And I don't know what the EMA and FDA would look at that and how they would assess it. I think it's quite a complex issue because I've not seen that much drug development in GU cancer where there are randomized phase threes coming out of China. We've seen lots the other way around with, you know, coming out of America and going to the rest of the world. But this is the reverse of that process. And I wonder if this is the beginning of a number of trials like this.
Yeah, I know sometimes there are kind of like this, but, you know, smaller Chinese efforts that go on, you know, sort of in parallel to large randomized studies in the US or Western Europe. But as you say, Tom, this is completely separate with a separate drug. So I agree, it's different than we've seen before, sort of from a global drug development scale.
So we should probably end it there. I think this has been fabulous. Congratulations and fabulous presentation. And we're looking forward to see how this drug combination gets developed and where it ends up.
Thank you for joining, Shang. We appreciate you joining. I know it's late at night for you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.